Right, I guess we're back here. And I'd like to pick up where we left off. If you have a bookmark in it there, Dr. Byrne.
I do have a bookmark in terms of accepted medical standards, because it's so important to understand that the first time that accepted medical standards was in the laws was in the Karen Ann Quinlan case. And the Karen Ann Quinlan case is known as the index case for the Right to Die movement. Now, if we take that accepted medical standards and just think about the determination of death and think about cessation of all functions of the entire brain and think of what's relevant, there is many people think that brain death means flat brain waves, when in fact it's the evaluation of doing brainwave testing became irrelevant in 1971. And so they don't do it all the time. And so you see that the standards before the accepted medical standards, they were usual and customary standards. They were ordinary standards. They were reasonable standards. And then in brain death, it's accepted standards. Now, how do we understand that? We're doing brainwave recording, which records electrical activity just from the outer 1 or 1.5 centimeters of the brain. But it does it make any sense to call somebody brain dead when you haven't even looked for brain activity? So it would be usual to do brainwave testing. It should be customary to do brainwave testing. It's ordinary to do brainwave testing. It's reasonable to do brainwave testing, yet it's accepted not to do brainwave testing. And incidentally, that's what we were able to do in the Aidan Helu case in Nevada. Aidan Helu, a 20-year-old girl who developed, a college student, developed abdominal pain. They did a laparoscopic operation on her, and she never woke up. She never woke up, and they did brainwave testing 3 times on her, showed brainwave activity all the time. They declared her brain dead, and it did get appealed to the Supreme Court in Nevada, and the Supreme Court in Nevada sent it back to the lower court that they had really not determined that she was dead. And the rest of the thing is Nevada, they went back to the legislation and made it so they don't have to do brainwave testing in Nevada. And the law is really bad in Nevada. It's if it's not the most worst places, it is the worst place so far as the determination of death law is concerned. And they want to get this in all of the states. Now let's get back to the revision of the Uniform Determination of Death Act. And why do they want to revise it? Because there were about 4 cases, and Aidan Helu is one of them, where where it was pointed out that they really weren't dead. Jahi McMath was another one, the 13-year-old girl in California who had tonsil surgery and then had hemorrhage, was said to be brain dead, was declared dead in California. She got transferred to New Jersey, and she lived another 4 years and died of something other than her brain. Alan Calloway in Montana. And so because of these cases that interfere, another point in there that I need to put in there is they don't check for thyroid studies, and thyroid stimulating hormone is produced by the brain. They consider salt and water balance, which is done by the brain. The maintenance of normal body temperature, which is done by the brain, all of those are considered to be irrelevant. And so the revisions of the law was to make those things not even to be considered ever by any of them, and they all would be excluded by the so-called accepted medical standards. Well, because of resistance from people, and incidentally, we gathered 854 signatures and presented that to the Uniform Law Commission, and other people presented that. So the revision of the Uniform Determination of Death Act by the Uniform Law Commission has been put on what they call pause. That, to me, is just means that that's to quiet you down, you people that are concerned about this, and we'll bring it back whenever we want to. That's what a pause is. They didn't throw it out, so it will come back. But here's what needs to happen, is that people need to know that death has to do with destruction, the absence of function that happens in death. It's because of the destruction. So the law has to be made, and then the destruction that has to be there, it has to be at least that to show that the vital systems of the body are destroyed. The vital systems are the circulatory and respiratory systems and the entire brain. And no one should be declared dead unless there is destruction of the circulatory and respiratory systems and the entire brain. And then the other part of it, Murr, is that there is a constitution of our federal government, a constitution in states, and many states have it built in there in terms of a right to life, and it's against the Constitution, the United States Constitution and state constitutions. And so while the Uniform Law Commission have been put on pause, we must focus on destruction, get people to know that. We must focus on giving the people a good law. No one shall be declared dead unless the circulatory and respiratory systems and the entire brain have been destroyed. And we must focus on how these things are against the Constitution of the United States and the constitutions of just about every state, many of them that we have.
Remember, Dr. Byrne, we used to, take walks after dinner and call it take our constitutional, right? So it's what our bodies are constituted. So way beyond whatever man has written down, and we're starting to find out that, well, some people have known for some time and are sharing it with us from 42 years of research, that the Constitution itself isn't what we think it is. And it's doing just what it was made to do, which is kind of eye-opening. But we have a caller, James in Vancouver, on line 3, and I know he won't blow his own horn, so I want to tell you, this is a very intelligent, researched man. He has a book entitled No Such Thing as Terminal, and he has a lot of research into nitrogen and how that facilitates life. So, James in Vancouver, can you come on board?
Yes, ma'am. Hello, Dr. Murr. Have you been reading my book or what?
No.
Well, if your book has to do with the Book of Life, yes, I could be reading it. Go ahead.
Well, it's an answer to Erwin Schrödinger's book, What is Life?, who shared the Nobel Prize in Physics with Paul Dirac in 1933. what I wanted to ask was, let's say we have a patient who is suffering from, second or third degree stage cancer. What do the present medical authorities say should be done for that?
Okay, so far as a serious illness, and it sounds like that's what you're describing.
Degenerative diseases, yes. Degenerative diseases, yes. Go ahead.
Yes.
Sorry.
And so diseases, incidentally, happen in living persons, and there can be manifestation of it in someone who has died. The decisions that they are the living person, and that how you treat that has to be individualized for each person in all of the medical information, the complaints of the patient, the examination by the doctors, the laboratory tests, the images, CAT scans, MRIs, and other things are all gathered. And then it has to be done in the most up-to-date treatment possibilities. And then decisions are made between the patient and the doctor as to how to treat.
Right. I noticed Donald Trump passed the law about the right to try, that is to say, medicines that are not FDA approved. And I wondered, have you ever come across the notion of the central dogma of biology?
The central dogma of biology, but go ahead.
Well, it describes the genetic flow of information, DNA, and then there's an arrow going to RNA, then there's an arrow from the RNA going to the protein, and this little... I call it an equation. Actually, I found it quite interesting in terms of the flow of genetic information, in fact, is the life force itself. And then, of course, what is driving the deoxyribonucleic acid to open is the nitro inside of it. And so that when DNA systems are weak, it's because they've lost their nitro. And if that nitro is replaced, then the organ will repolymerize itself and become new again. Back to you.
Yes, and well, you bring up a number of things there. And yes, in the world in which we live now, just to pick a time 100 years ago, we don't even need to go back that far, but we have a lot more information now, and science continues to discover what God has done. And the life is to focus on the life of the human person, and to make it in some ways similar, but not completely dissimilar from the beast. But the life is the soul, and you can interchange the words life and soul, and they're both four-letter words. And yes, we can get into things, as you mentioned, about DNA and RNA and nitrogen exchange and those kinds of things that are manifestations of the life. The life of the person is whole and entire in the whole person. And the life of the person is whole and entire in each part. And so to put these together and to put them so that we can think about them, you see, a person does not have to be a super-duper scientist to know the difference between life and death. And a person doesn't even need to know the word soul, and yet they can tell. And so this is very essential, built into the person in terms of what's alive and what's dead. It's also built into the person, the specialness of each person. Things that are built in are not to kill, not to harm. Those kind of things are built in, and so it's all there. And yes, I commend you. I don't know about your book or the things, but I am happy to get you to comment and question about the things that we're talking about. They're very, very important.
Well, I think that humanity, in fact, all living organisms cling to life, and that seems to be a directive force. And then that projects into philosophy, and therefore the last 3 years of this so-called COVID, which is a fake, I always thought, and the shots, which are designed to kill, this is a time where people have to assert that they either are going to die or they're going to fight for life. And I'll let you go. I'll let you guys go, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks, James.
Thanks a lot for calling. We appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, and so Dr. Byrne, the CDC a few years ago, and they've been kind of pushing it since, was having this preparing for the zombie apocalypse. So it's like they planned this to have people that are like in limbo, like they used to have in the Catholic Church with the babies, right? They're between life and death, which is an impossibility. So you wonder then what would be animating them. Well, it would be darker forces.
Yes. And incidentally, the caller mentioned about philosophy, and philosophy is a science, and it's a science of what makes things be what they are, that kind of thing. And so it's very significant, but no matter what the philosophy is, there is a difference between life and death, a biological difference, and it's the biological is an absence of the biological. It's an absence of the life, an absence of the bios, the Greek word for the origin of life. It's an absence of life, and it gets manifest in terms of pathology, of an abnormal physiology, a lack of physiology. But these things are different, and they are different from a medical, biological, pathological difference. And in brain death, they have decided that it's an absence of functioning of the brain, and that it's an absence of some functions of the brain, and the laws do not even require destruction of the brain, much less destruction of at least the three vital systems before someone is declared dead. And so these things are there, and they're relatively simple in the sense of the truth. My own self, when I started to pay attention to more studies of chromosomes and DNA, it was during my lifetime that we could begin to analyze for chromosomes.
Yes. Hold that thought, please. We're coming up on a break, but it's important, people, to remember that word destruction and how important it is. We'll be back.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Thank you, Mr. Producer. Sam, you have the greatest choices of music. I don't know how you do it. I see you do it with all the other hosts, too. You, you know what fits. And Dr. Byrne, would you like to finish that thought, or is this a good place to take a caller?
We should take a caller.
All right. Mike in Kentucky on line 3. Please come on board.
Well, good afternoon, folks. Do I sound okay?
Yes,
today?
You do, Mike. You sound
okay.
Good.
Well, so I was going to, I had to wait for somebody to leave before I could talk about this. I didn't want to bring up bad memories, but I know of a woman who, I think it was 2 or 3 times that she died, and they did CPR on her because she had stents in her heart at one point for something wacky, like I think it was 40 minutes before they got her rhythm back. And then another time she was in a coma, and she ended up being declared, quote, brain dead twice. And she was in a coma for something, again, a little wacky, like, I don't know, 40-some days, 6 weeks. And the silly thing was, it's kind of maybe a useful thing to do when you have a loved one in a coma, is she liked Michael Landon in that Highway to Heaven and in Little House on the Prairie, but she absolutely hated him on Bonanza. And one of her relatives kept going in there and putting the TV on Bonanza. And she woke up within a day or two of that happening and said, "Who? I hate Bonanza. Take it off of Bonanza." But obviously she was too old to really be considered probably for most organ donor stuff, you know. So she had never signed an organ donor card. And I think it was there was a family issue that had not been resolved, some resentment between some sisters. And when the last time she was revived, they got together and kind of buried the hatchet. And I think it was the third or maybe the fourth time she died. Turned out, though, they did a liver biopsy. The woman had had flu-like symptoms for probably 20 years, lots of flu-like symptoms and tired spells and stuff. She had grown up around chickens, had histoplasmosis in the liver.
Wow.
But, yeah, so all this talk of brain death and stuff like that, there are pretty extreme examples where people are brought back and they're thought to be brain dead and in a coma and all this, and people pull the plug and, you know. And I don't ask me why, you know.
Mike, your comment and questions are very good. But one of the things that I think is important is that these discussions begin with a dictionary, and these words do mean something. And one of the words that you mentioned was coma. Well, coma is only in a living person. And incidentally, the first article on brain death in the United States was titled "A Definition of Irreversible Coma." Now, coma is like a pause. It's there, but it comes back. So coma means you're alive. Now, so far as this person that you described how died once, twice, three, four times, whatever it is, no, the person dies only once. And if a person would die and then has some manifestation of life afterwards, that would be a resurrection, not a resuscitation.
Sure.
Resuscitation is when we help restore the manifestation of breathing and the life and that kind of thing. And Jesus was very clear to us in terms of his own death, making it so that he was in the tomb. You know, some people, you know, it's for 3 days, but certainly more than 2 days, but long enough that there was no doubt but that he was dead.
He did
the same thing with Lazarus. So clearly dead, and the way that Jesus was, the way that Lazarus was, is not the way this lady was that you described.
There was modern techniques to try to preserve her tissues and that kind of stuff, to keep them oxygenated and that sort of stuff. But there is doubt about maybe not Lazarus' resurrection, because I think he was in, was he not even longer, like 4 days and brought back?
4 days, yeah, 4 days.
Yes.
And there's a debate about Jesus Christ. We can get into that another time, but go ahead.
Okay, well, one thing that modern people have put forward, you know, and that there was some kind of like pufferfish toxin on the sponge with vinegar. I mean, they'd look for any way to try to get out of saying that Jesus was resurrected. So, you know, about making zombies, you know, give them a pufferfish toxin.
In Japan,
they can't even bury you for 3 days if you've ate that. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to bring up was organ tissue. Memories where people, there's many, many stories that is beyond anecdotal, I think, where people have received either a heart or a kidney and they have the cravings and some of the memories and the habits or interests and hobbies of those that they got the organ from.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at that?
Yeah.
Of course, those kind of things. And I do pay attention to them. And so far as what some of these things are, I can't say that I look them like factual or something else. And it's important that I pay attention to them, but the things that we've been talking about.
Hold on, we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back in a few minutes. Yeah.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Have a half hour now. That was the last break we'll have, or just about half an hour, 25 Probably minutes. Not. And I just want to say here quickly, too, because we touched on this in the last visit, and I'll repeat what I said. It's not a good thing, okay? This is an interesting phenomenon with it, memory, and you have memories from two different bodies, and it's confusion. It's not good for us, although God in his almightiness will use it for his purpose. So go ahead.
Very good point, Mer. And so the other thing that has come out here is the organs and tissues. It's important to understand the difference in with all of this, that in order to get an organ for transplantation, it can't be damaged. You want a healthy organ. And so the basic unit of biology is the cell. Groups of cells make up tissues. Groups of tissues make up organs. And then groups of organs make up organism. And so that's the biological term. And then the human body is divided in accord with systems, and the systems are functions, are to carry out functions. There are 11 systems. Three of them are the vital systems, the circulatory and respiratory systems, and the brain are the three vital systems. And so no one should be declared dead unless there is destruction of at least those three systems. And if you want to get an organ for transplantation, you have to get it while there's still oxygen and circulation and the like. But, so without oxygen, the organs that are damaged most quickly are the brain, the heart, and the liver.
And, that's the perception.
And so every time they do a heart transplant, they cut out a beating heart. The transplant surgeon stops the beating heart. Every time a whole liver is transplanted, it's taken from someone who has a circulation right up to that time. So you see there's and kidneys have a little more time, so there's a greater resistance to the lack of oxygen for certain organs. And then when you get into tissues, it's it has even a greater time until the tissue gets so damaged that it can't be transplanted. Tissues are like ligaments and tendons. And then the other tissue that you hear about is the cornea. The cornea is the front part of the eye, and God makes the cornea. God made the cornea without circulation. If he would have put blood vessels in the cornea, we would be looking between blood vessels, and that would certainly be distractful.
And, well, you kind of stole some of my thunder there.
Where does the cornea? Where does the cornea get oxygen? Gets it from the environment through the tears. So you see, even when circulation stops, there takes a longer time until there's destruction. So they can get the cornea even a few hours after there's no circulation, but it's a tissue and not an organ. So one has to be distinguishing between these two. Some people say, it's all right. You can take my tissues, but what they don't realize is that before they take the tissues, they do that in somebody after they've taken the heart and the liver and the kidneys and the pancreas and the intestines and take all of those organs. And then what's left are the bones and the tendons and the ligaments and the like. And then they get those the tissues. And incidentally, they skin them. They take the skin off and they use it as bone as burn dressing. And so they get the skin after death, but it doesn't sound very nice to me. But they're now look what happened. My emotions showed, and thus us human beings have emotions, but the things that we're talking about, it's not just emotions, it's not just feelings, it is a fact that a person is alive, and and it's a unity of the physical and the spiritual, the body and the soul. And death is when there's separation of the body and soul, and it gets manifest when it's overt by decay, that kind of thing. And so destruction would be the first part of it, and you can understand destruction if you think in terms of structure being there, what it's built on, and destruction doesn't mean violence or anything like that, but the basic structure is no longer there. So there is an absence of the function or the functioning, but it's because the structure is gone, And then it does get somewhat into the things that you brought up in terms of somebody being resuscitated if the organs are so damaged that they are destroyed. You can't revive them, kind of thing.
That's very thorough. Can you hold on there just a second? I want to let Mike finish what he has to say, and then we'll have Tom and Utah after him.
You kind of stole some of my thunder, but not really. The punchline to my call is to put this concept out here. When I grew up, there was nothing. There was no internet. I was interested in computers, but it wasn't internet. I didn't even know about bulletin boards, but the magazines on the shelves were everywhere. I couldn't afford to buy a lot of them, but we had Science Digest, Cosmos, Omni, and Scientific American in rare places. But I had read about how the Russians, because they didn't have our ethics of the West, they had actually taken a slice out of somebody's brain and put it in somebody else, and they recognized people and had information that dead person had. But like you said, the brain had to be alive. I would postulate or argue that the brain is not as susceptible. I would say the kidneys are more susceptible to, quote, death or lack of circulation than the brain is. And we don't fully understand the way memories are recorded in our tissues. And there's nervous tissues all over the body.
Even each individual cell has memory.
Exactly. The DNA, they don't really understand that. Epigenomics, they called it junk DNA when they first looked at it. Non-coding DNA is the term more recently. But I would like to say that for some people, the Premarin didn't work. You know what I mean? Pregnant mare's urine is what? It's from a horse. When we kill animals, those hormones are in the tissue. Our brains don't line up with their memory as well. But the cortisol and that sort of stuff is in that tissue. So when you're taking that in, I started noticing in the 80s, especially, but in the 90s, it's undeniable. The muffin top fat, especially around women, took away their waist. I think it has to do with the way that they're butchering these meats. There's a woman, forget her name, who developed a squeeze chute to try
Temple
to more humanely.
Grandin. Yeah, she's on the autistic scale, and she invented this hugging machine, and she uses it her own privately at home. But it was to carry the animals into slaughter so that they were like in a hug instead of being dragged, beaten, whatever.
I'll let you go because Tom can probably jump all over this.
Thank you, Mike. So, Dr. Byrne, are you ready for another one?
Yes.
Okay, Tom and Utah on line 5. Please come on.
Hi, Murr and Doctor.
Hi.
Hey, last night I had a wonderful evening. I spent an evening with a very, very dear friend of mine as we honored another. This is a little side note, but it's because of my history laboring in this field. I was with Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee, as we honored W. Cleon Skousen, who was he wrote the book, The Naked Communist. Mm-hmm. He also was a very astute authority on the Constitution, which you're touching right now on medical freedom. But anyway, the other factor that I want to remind you of is the rejection issue, that when we put an organ into another individual's body, the DNA, the antigens which that organ represents, triggers the immune response of that receiving body, and then we have to medicate that individual generally for most of the rest of their life. So, and the three phenomena that we discovered back in the 60s and 70s, by the way, if you'll go to the website called intheair.news or tomandutah.news, N-E-W-S, you'll see the author of that article is Elaine Jarvik. Does the word Jarvik mean anything in transplant surgery?
Yes. She's the wife of the doctor who did the first heart transplant.
Well, we were working with the steel, the mechanical heart with Barney Clark, the Jarvik heart. But then when we got into live tissues or human tissue to the human, the three phenomena we had to deal with was rejection, number one, DNA corruption, number two, and memory, number three, and you know that. I was pleased that you referred to my paper, Memory Transfer. By the way, Paul Pearsall.
Yes, I was hoping you'd hear that.
Paul Pearsall transplanted a heart from an 11-year-old girl into a 9-year-old girl in Hawaii, and they had this queer experience where the receiving girl began to have nightmares and scream out, "Please don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me." And then she would call a name. When that was investigated, we finally found out that that 11-year-old girl had been murdered by an individual misbehaving improperly with the 11-year-old girl. But the memory was transmitted into the tissues of the recipient girl's heart, and in the end, the man was prosecuted, sentenced, and executed.
That's what I was saying about how the Lord works in mysterious ways. He'll use it for his purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, such a wonderful caller, and it'd be good if you continue to stay in touch with us so that we can know more about what you're saying. Now, there's a couple more things that we need to make the points about before we get done. And one of them has to do with a test called apnea test. And this is not a test for sleep apnea, but the apnea test is done on the patient who is on the ventilator. And what they do in the apnea test is they disconnect the ventilator to see if they can take a breath. So you know that the ventilator often is going like 20 cycles or 20 breaths a minute. We're breathing like 20 breaths a minute. And if we tried to hold our breath and we held our breath for a minute, which we'd have to be in very good physical condition to go that long, we would skip 20 breaths. But in the apnea test, they take them off to up to 10 minutes. So you see, 10 times 20 is 200 breaths. They skip 200 breaths. That makes the carbon dioxide goes up. That makes acid products that cannot do anything other than harm for a patient. It cannot do a patient good. And so one has to learn from this no, no, no to the apnea test. Everybody must learn that. The apnea test also, not a test for sleep apnea. That's okay. But everybody has to know no to the apnea test for the patient who's on a ventilator in the hospital. The other thing is that, so say no to organ donation at the License Bureau. Learn more about that. Know that they're taking advantage of you by getting you to sign up to be an organ donor when you know little or no information about it. We do have an organization, Life Guardian Foundation, www.lifeguardianfoundation.org, all three words put together. And if you get in touch with us, we will send out a medical opt-out card. And the medical opt-out card is there to protect and preserve your life. And the most important thing that it does, it says right in the first line, I direct all medical treatments and care, including food and water, be given to protect and preserve my life. Do not hasten death. Do not do an apnea test. And do not take any organ for transplantation or any other purpose. We also send more information out that can help you. We're not attorneys, but we can help you to be in touch with your attorney so that you have a health care power of attorney. And everybody over the age of 18 ought to have a health care power of attorney. And incidentally, if your children go visit grandma, and you're out of the country, they need to have a health care power of attorney also. And because of the way the laws are written, the laws are written, they revolve around getting your organs. and it's very difficult for people perhaps to absorb that fact, but you have to know that the organ transplant industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. $48 billion was billed in 2020 for organ transplantation, of which the doctors got $6 billion. So you see, it's big business. It revolves around the medical system and the laws and the government. The federal government is involved, not directly, but indirectly. And so you have to learn about these things and must focus on life, take a stand to protect and preserve life. Preserving is one of the attributes of God. God takes care of, we take care of. And so to preserve that life, protect, preserve, and that you've got to add on to it so you realize what we're in up to, or what we need, where we need to be, is protect, preserve, and defend life. Because we're, with abortion, we know that that unborn baby's life has to be defended. But in the case of the person who is on a ventilator in a hospital, not showing evidence of breathing and other things on their own, that life must be protected and preserved and defended. And if you've signed an organ donor card already, that's suicidal. That's setting you up so that the doctor can stop your beating heart. And so the people have to learn these things to protect, preserve, and defend their own life and the life of their relatives and friends.
Yeah, thank you.
You really can't. Questions?
Yeah, you really can't make these points strong enough or often enough. You know,
yes.
People don't realize how important this is. You're taking your life in your hands anyway. If you go in a hospital or receive a needle of any kind, you should have an advocate, someone with you all the time if you have to go in the hospital.
Yes, and very good point, Merv. It's really important that if you cannot make decisions for yourself, you need someone around you who loves and will help to protect your life. And incidentally, the cases that I get involved with, and one day this week, I was dealing with patients in five different states. Why is that? It's because there's not very many people that are willing to protect the life of the unconscious person. Why not? It isn't that I look at myself as so different from the others, but much of the medical system is controlled by the government. It's Medicare and Medicaid. Those are the federal and the state governments for control of health care, and the private insurance companies follow through with that. And the way it's done is that the doctors are employed by the hospital. The hospital's dependent on the Medicare and Medicaid and private insurance companies to get their funding. And so all the doctors have to abide by Medicare and Medicaid. And that's mm-hmm. the way that medicine is practiced. And so
that's the operative word there, Dr. Byrne. That's the operative word, the funding. Funding is behind the government, too. The court system is similar. It all comes down to the banks.
Yes, you're correct, Mer. It's so important. And so hopefully the listeners will get themselves informed. Pray a lot for our own self, for our relatives and friends. And yes, have a power of attorney. Don't sign up for be an organ donor. If you're in a hospital on a ventilator, say no to the apnea test, and and get in touch with us at lifeguardianfoundation.org, yes. And we will send you some information that can be helpful to you.
Yes, this is very important, people, and I put the link in the chat room again, lifeguardianfoundation.org. Very important. And the video we played the first time you were here in July is in there, too. It's just under 10 minutes, and that's very informative, too. I wouldn't mind hearing that again, but people can play it and hear it for themselves. So I really appreciate your being here with us today. This is wonderful. We'll have to do this more often. And the letter I sent it, hadn't thought about it before, but the article rather that Tom had written, he's done a lot of things, but I put it in your email. So I think you'll enjoy reading that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. I guess we're at 4 minutes. So, or 1 minute, I'm not sure just when we go, but I really appreciate your being here and the people calling in. And it's just so important that we know, because, you know, we'll be doing more traveling now. People aren't quite as frightened, but they're trying to make them more frightened again and to wear the masks and all that stuff. And there's more chance for vaccidents, as they like to call them. And, you know, this bioweapon that has destroyed so many people and continues to destroy them, and we don't even have any idea. But it wasn't meant to help, but you are, and we appreciate your being here, Dr. Byrne.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Pasiba, dasvidanya, God go with you.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.